are you seeking? Jesus asks this question in the text that we'll be considering this morning, but it's an important question for us to consider. We turn to John chapter 18, verses 1 through 9. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.'" Judas came with troops and leaders from the Jewish officers, carrying lanterns and torches and weapons. It was a lynch mob. Now, if a mob came after you with torches and pitchforks, what would you do? You'd probably run the other way and hide. But that is not what Jesus did. Verse 4 tells us that Jesus knew all things that were going to happen to him, and yet he went out to the crowd and asked them, "Whom are you seeking?" The crowd answered, "Jesus of Nazareth," and Jesus replied, "I am he." Now in English, we need to add the word "he" to make Jesus' reply into good English to make it make sense. But the original Greek did not need the word "he." So what Jesus really says here is, "I am." Now when he said this, the mob drew back and fell to the ground. Why did they do that? Was it because he shouted those two words, "Ego I me"? No, that wouldn't be sufficient. But in Jesus' words here, we see that Jesus is the great I am. With these two words, it takes us back to Exodus chapter 3, when Moses asked God, "Who should I say sent me?" We read in verse 14, "And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" With these two little words, Jesus is declaring to be God Almighty. And the mob got a glimpse of that. That is why they fell back and fell to the ground. When you seek Jesus, do you come before him in awe that he is God Almighty, through whom everything was created? It's easy to diminish Jesus' divinity and think of him just as a heavenly friend, isn't it? We sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." And that's true. Jesus did say in John 15:15, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you." Jesus is our friend. But we should remember that he is so much more. He's more than a man with heavenly connections. He is the great I am. The Gospel of John contains a number of these I am statements of Jesus. In fact, we heard one this weekend at church in our Gospel reading from John chapter 8, where Jesus said to the Jews, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And they understood what Jesus was saying as they picked up stones in order to kill him for speaking blasphemy, for claiming to be God, but he was in truth God. And Jesus also uses a number of these I am statements to describe himself. In John chapter 6, he said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." In chapter 8, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." In chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." In chapter 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." In chapter 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And in chapter 15, Jesus says, "I am the vine. Without me, you can do nothing." When you seek Jesus, do you come before him as the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the true vine, without whom you can do nothing? Do you seek him as the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father? In our text, we see not only who Jesus is, but also what he does. In verse 8, he says to the mob, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way." This goes back to his high priestly prayer in chapter 17, where he said to the Father, "Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." When the mob came to arrest Jesus, Jesus interceded for his disciples so that they could go free. He was arrested in their place. Jesus was also arrested so that you might go free. We know the rest of the story. We know that Jesus was led away to be tried before Caiaphas and then Ananias, and eventually brought before Pilate so that he could be convicted and sentenced to death. Jesus suffered and died on the cross to pay for your sins. As the great I am, his death paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, your sins are forgiven. He is the good shepherd who gave his life for you, his sheep. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He is the light of the world so that you may not walk in darkness any longer. He is the resurrection and the life so that you shall live even when you die. Jesus interceded for his disciples, and he now lives to intercede for you. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, you are declared not guilty. You have become the righteousness of God in him. And when Satan accuses you before God, Jesus steps in and says, "I have died for this person. I have paid for their sin." When you do sin, turn to Jesus as the great I am who has saved you. So whom are you seeking? May you always seek Jesus of Nazareth, the great I am, who was arrested and led away to die for your sins in your place, who rose again and is your resurrection and life, who is now at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. He is your help and salvation. Now we close by singing hymn 39, verses 1 and 4. Verses 1 and 4 of hymn 39.